Welcome to Whatever the Case, Stryker's official ASC podcast, which features interviews with leading experts in the ASC space, focused on the clinical, operational, and financial considerations that go into ASC ownership. We hope to bring you valuable perspectives and insights to enhance your understanding of the ASC market. Because whatever the case, we've got you covered. Welcome to episode 5 of Stryker's Whatever the Case podcast, where we're taking a closer look at what it really takes to build a successful ASC from the ground up while leveraging Stryker's New Build Playbook, an interactive guide that walks through the full ASC development journey across 8 key phases. In last month's episode, we unpacked phase 3, operational planning, the true groundbreaking moment of the project where the vision for the center starts to take physical shape and laying the operational foundation that will support the ASC for years to come. Today, we're moving into phase 4, clinical planning, the stage where that operational groundwork starts to evolve into the clinical identity of the surgery center. This phase focuses on the policies, safety plans, staffing models, and vendor partnerships that determine how the ASC will function on a day-to-day basis. If phase 3 built the structure, phase 4 brings it to life. To help us explore this phase, I'm joined by Tammy Robinson, Executive Director of Operations at the Franciscan Orthopedic Surgery Center. Tammy has 25 years experience leading ASCs and is an ASC accreditation surveyor. She serves on the ASC Quality Collaborative Committee and serves on the board of directors for the Indiana Federation of ASCs. Tammy is truly a seasoned healthcare leader, and we're really excited to welcome her to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. So I have been in the ASC industry for going on 25 years now. I've had the opportunity to open 2 ambulatory surgery centers. One was multi-specialty, and my current center is orthopedic. And I also enjoy the accreditation surveying. It allows me to stay compliant as well as helping others maintain that. I love the ASC industry. I love the energy, the collaboration. I love the opportunity to build something meaningful from the ground up. There's just really something rewarding about helping physicians, staff, and administrators work together and create a great spirit for their surgery center.
I love that. And we're really excited to hear your perspective on the clinical planning phase, certainly considering your years and years of experience implementing ASCs. So we're just going to get kicked right off. And I'd love to know, Tammy, from your perspective, why is this phase such a critical turning point in the launching of a new ASC? And what outcomes are really being shaped during this stage?
Sure. I think this is where the foundation of the surgery center is built. We are transforming the concept into your operation reality. So it's not just shaping how the center operates, but we're also shaping how it feels. So getting the right clinical team in place early is going to set your tone for efficiency and safety. We're shaping our workflow, the rhythm of the center, and how it will operate day to day. We're starting to develop policies and procedures and protocols that are going to be the backbone for compliance, regulatory, and safety. You're really just shaping the center's identity. So you're really building your workflows, and the personality of your center is truly beginning to take shape. So while your construction is going to define your physical space, I think this phase really is defining the heart of the organization.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one of the big milestones you touched on was the development of all the policies and procedures for the center. And this can definitely seem like a pretty daunting task if you don't have experience creating policies for an ASC. So can you touch on your experience and share any best practices you might have when it comes to policies and procedures?
Sure. I think it's a daunting task even with experience, but I have 2 different perspectives. During my first surgery center build, we used a consultant company who drafted our policies and procedures. And although they were very helpful and gave us a good framework, they were really templated policies. So we modified them to reflect our own actual workflow and how you really operate day to day. And you really want to make sure if you're using a consultant that you do read through those policies and procedures just to make sure you're truly doing what the document says you're doing, because that will come to light during any type of survey process. And the second center was a little different. My experience evolved a little bit. So I wrote a lot of the policies and procedures on my own just from that previous experience. Also using a lot of tools out there for policy and procedure development. ARN, ASCA, all have great tools to guide you. And keeping updated, getting your rules and regs, and starting to review your accreditation guidelines to make sure you are going to meet all of those standards when it's time for a survey.
One thing we discussed when we met earlier this week was, and this has been covered in many phases of the ASC development journey, it's don't feel like you have to do this alone. There are so many resources available and so many peers within the industry that are eager to lend a hand and help out. So take advantage
of those resources that are available.
I completely agree. I would say if you haven't explored ASCA, the Ambulatory Surgery Association, that's our national ASC organization, they are wonderful. They actually offer an ASC administrator development program for any new administrators. It is a step-by-step guide on how to meet CMS regulations. It's excellent. They also offer webinars, conferences, benchmarking, and they are just a great resource to contact and ask any questions. They'll point you in the right direction. I'd also advise new centers to get involved with their local or state associations. Again, those can be great networking opportunities for you to just keep current and just phone a friend when needed, or just talk through some process or policy, because you're probably not the first one who's had an issue. It can be really challenging also with the regulatory components. Figuring out how to meet every standard is a very steep learning curve. So again, getting in touch and maintaining a relationship with your state, local, national ASC organizations is extremely valuable, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely a great recommendation for sure. I think ASCA is a wonderful organization, but certainly leaning locally on those state associations is a great call out as well. So Tammy, this phase also includes pharmacy and life safety plans. Can you give an overview of both of those and different ways ASCs may tackle both of those?
Sure. First of all, pharmacy, if you're looking at CMS, and again, all ASCs will most likely be surveyed by CMS, they have to provide drugs and biologicals in a safe and effective manner. And so part of that procedure is identifying a great pharmacy consultant who can help your center. They can help create inventory, medication list, helps with your crash cart, your formulary, very helpful. They can also assist you with the policies and procedures that you are going to need that are going to be required throughout your ASC regulatory journey. Policies including your medication labeling, safe injection practice, verbal orders, medication reconciliation, adverse medical medication reactions, and several of those policies that you need to develop. Another thing to remember in this phase is to start your application for your controlled substance registration, your CSR. Usually you have to get that from the state, and then you can apply for your DEA. Really understand the timeframes with the process of that CSR and DEA. When you're opening your new center, really plan, start those early so you have those ready to go. You wouldn't want that to delay your opening.
Absolutely. And you also shared with life safety planning how you may be able to even leverage consultants or maintenance companies and others that you're going to be working with who can help to guide you with your life safety planning. Any thoughts there?
Yes, life safety is a pretty broad subject. So you can consult with or contract with a property or a facility management company. There's also life safety consultants out there. If you know your accreditation organization, then you can also contact them, as they may have some consulting, or a lot of times they can perform a mock or pre-survey or a gap analysis survey to help you. Again, you can look for someone. There's a lot of certifications that people have with life safety. So I would be on the lookout for that. Another resource could be your architect. The architect usually have the life safety updates, and they may be a resource to know maybe where a life safety specialist is as well. So that's someone you may want to contact as well if you're needing a little extra guidance or you don't know who to reach out to.
Well, thank you for sharing those helpful tips. And let's pivot here. So the clinical director is hired in phase three, and they're put to work to assemble the team here in the clinical planning phase. So as leaders begin shaping their clinical team, and for you, when you've assembled your own teams, what roles or competencies should be prioritized to build a strong foundation for operations and patient care at this phase in the new build process?
When you are developing your clinical team, one thing to remember is you want a very team-oriented mindset in your ASC. Most likely, it's going to be a very fast-paced environment where teamwork is everything. So when looking at developing that clinical team, I think it's very important to be transparent with expectations when you're bringing people in. Again, you also want people who are cross-trained. And those individuals who have worked in an ASC setting before, moving from a hospital to an ASC is a little bit different. In an ASC, everyone is wearing multiple hats. You might be the circulator, but you're also the infection control nurse and quality. So a couple of those key items to keep in mind when you are hiring people. Again, you're building your culture at this point, so you really want to make sure you get the right fit, that positive attitude. You really want people to be excited about something new and successful. So a couple key roles that I think are important when you start, you want to start lean, but you want to be strategic. So I would start with a CST and an operating room nurse are both very important. Or maybe you have an operating room nurse who also can scrub and can fill both those roles. I think those two roles are extremely important. Again, you want to bring in a pre-PACU nurse as well. Again, here's where we see a lot of cross-training is if you're in pre-op, we want you also to be cross-trained in recovery and vice versa. It gives you a lot of flexibility when you're up and running. So you want to set up those pre-op and recovery workflows, those standing orders. And again, central supply. Do you have a separate central supply or are your OR team going to do all of your sterile processing? So determining how you're going to function with that sterile processing journey, how you're going to develop workflows. And again, radiation techs, radiology techs is another thing that probably comes a little later, but just keeping in mind what you need, what type of cases you're going to be performing. So a strong OR nurse, CST, and pre-op, post-op nurse, they're going to get a great foundation to getting your clinical workflow started. I think the medical director position is also very important if a role to help, again, with policies and procedures. And that medical director might be a surgeon, or if you're going to have anesthesia, the anesthesia director would be beneficial to get in early as well to help formulate all of your policies and procedures. So a lot of times we're just talking about the staff that are actually working in the center, but the medical and anesthesia director are also very important positions to keep in mind when you're starting up early.
And I think you also talked about the helpfulness of having staff that have worked with your core group of physicians in the past. They might know their preference cards and are familiar with the different supplies that each of your physicians might want during those early days.
Absolutely. I think it is great if you can find a team that has prior history with your physicians. They are going to know what they really use. A lot of times we see where a physician may request several items, and when you bring their team in, they have identified only a few they consistently use, and some are for a rainy day. So I think it is important to get that history. And if you don't have that history, it's very important to get that preference card and to review those to identify those key equipment, instruments, and supplies, implants that you're going to need to get started.
Yeah. And so since you're not open yet and you really are starting with those core roles that will help kind of build the foundation of the center, when is the bulk of the actual hiring occurring?
I think you want to have your staff there a few months before opening. You'll have orientation with your staff, education with your staff, and again, developing the workflows and orienting to new equipment, depending on the type of vendors you're using or equipment. They may not have used it. So getting them educated on all of that so that when your first surgery is, the process is smooth and efficient.
Absolutely. And that brings us to another point of vendor selection and other partners that you might be connecting with at this phase of the new build process. So we're talking about potentially vendors for maintenance, your general medical supplies, among other things. I'd love to hear from you and your experience at your two different centers. And I know when we spoke, you said sometimes the ownership of those centers may influence how you handle those decisions. So we'd love for you to touch on that.
I think you have to start with a clear framework when you are selecting your vendors and support partners. You have to understand your case mix, your volume, and your surgeon preferences. So depending on your ownership, you do need to look to your GPO, your group purchasing organization, on some of your supplies. If you have an affiliation with them, that could drive the type of supplies or implants that you are purchasing. So make sure when you're starting your ASC, do you have a GPO? Does your partner have a GPO? Because some of the supplies the surgeons may have been using in the past may not be exactly the same. So you really want to make sure you're looking at that so they can get comfortable if you have to make a transition to just a new vendor supplier. When you're selecting your equipment and supplies, again, I think it's really key for that physician and staff collaboration. I think physicians are great at identifying what they prefer for their procedures, but the staff often have that deeper insight into the practical workflow, what's actually used and how it's set up. So making sure you have both those perspectives help the entire team speak the same language and just align all the expectations and make your purchasing decisions that truly reflect the center's needs. You don't want to overbuy at this point, so you really want to make sure that you have that partnership with your staff and physician to make those good decisions. From other support partners, besides your supplies, implants, pharmaceuticals, we're looking here at your contracts, services for your biomed, your facility and maintenance, lab services, environmental cleaning. Is this going to be a contract service or is this your staff? Trash removal, biomedical waste, your credentialing service,
if you have radiology or dosimeter monitoring, and make sure that when you are starting up to pay attention to those quality metrics, such as OSCAPs. That is a CMS quality metric that has to be a third party to do that surveying for you. So just keep in mind all of those avenues that you have to take a stroll down to get your center started. A few other tips to consider during this time is your transfer agreement. ASCs have to have an effective procedure for their immediate transfer, so you're developing policies and procedures. You do have to provide a written notice to a local participating hospital for your transfer agreement. You can read all these rules. These are all in the CMS manual, so really make sure you're taking a look at those guidelines so that you can be compliant. The transfer agreement between the local hospital and ASC is no longer required by regulation, but you still have to provide that written notice to that local hospital. A couple other things to keep in mind is, are you going to require your staff to be ACLS or PALS or CPR certified, getting them educated before you open, looking at your crash cart, looking at if you're going to use any triggering agents such as succinylcholine or inhalation agents, you'll have to have your MH cart. And I think both of those are covered in a previous Stryker podcast. So if you're interested in anesthesia in an ASC, I think it'd be great to check that out from an anesthesiologist who can guide you to compliance in those carts.
Yeah, absolutely, Tammy. Thank you for mentioning that. And one thing that, you know, I continue to hear you reiterate is that so much of this phase is certainly guided by the CMS regulations, and just continuing to refer back to that as your guide throughout this process seems like a best practice.
You are absolutely right. And your accreditation guidelines. So whoever you choose, they will have guidelines as well. And your accreditation contacts should also help you if you have questions. So never hesitate to reach out.
Tammy, we are going to wrap up here. And I would love, as we close out, for you to think about the other projects that you've been a part of and any key lessons learned during the clinical planning phase, or a piece of advice you'd offer to anyone going through this phase for the first time.
I have a lot of Tammy tips, Dana, but I really think a critical piece of the success of your center is developing a great two-way relationship between your physicians and your staff. I think the staff need to feel comfortable proposing new processes to the physicians, and physicians need to be open to considering those ideas. With efficiency always at the top of our mind, finding ways to optimize the workflow is vital. And often your staff, they see opportunities that a physician may not, and the physician sees a different perspective that your staff doesn't. So I think keeping an open mind when these ideas can be implemented, it just strengthens operations. So I'm so grateful I'm at a center where we have this great collaborative spirit alive every day, where we feel empowered to suggest improvements, and our physicians are so receptive and vice versa, that we're able to refine our process and just have a great, strong, cohesive system. That environment is what you need in an ASC to foster excellence and communication. Retention is huge right now in healthcare. As a nurse, nurses and techs, and really any healthcare provider, they have an opportunity to pick where they want to work. And I think the success of your center, the heart of your center is your team. And so really providing that dynamic environment is just vital. And that starts day one.
Tammy, thank you so much for joining us. Your experience within this industry is so incredibly evident by the wealth of knowledge you shared with us today. And to our listeners, if you haven't already, check out Stryker's New Build Playbook. It's available at stryker.com/ASC, where you can explore phase 4 in more detail and continue to follow along with the full 8-phase journey. We will be back next covering phase 5, building completion, where building inspection and training occurs, infrastructure equipment is installed, and patient selection criteria and clinical guidelines are created. Until then, I'm Dana McInnes, and this has been Whatever the Case. Thanks for listening. Tammy Robinson is a paid consultant of Stryker. Her viewpoints expressed in this podcast are her own and may not necessarily reflect the views of Stryker. To learn more about Stryker's ASC business, visit www.stryker.com/ASC.